Well, thanks for coming. My name is Corey Roth. I am an applications architect from a partner called Infusion, and I'm from Houston, Texas. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics in SharePoint, search. So that's what you're here all for, I'm sure. Who here is actually using SharePoint Online today? Do we actually have any, you know, adopters of it? A few. So you're actually doing stuff, you're actually using it in production, things like that. Who here has been considering it for ages like the rest of us? All right, so we got a mix. And who here just, you know, doesn't care, but you want to see what works in 2010 as well? Good, okay. Well, I can address things for all of you. So I'll be sure and point out the differences as we go through the talk. So let's get going. And let's talk about, you know, what are some of the challenges with search? And here's just some generic ones I kind of put together, you know. There's too many results. Now, users complain they can't find anything, no matter what you do, right? Who here has a SharePoint implementation where people complain about search? Those of you who don't have their hands up are lying. Maybe you actually did the work. Some people actually do a lot of work on it. You know, maybe there's just not enough options on the search page. They want to be able to refine their results. They want to be able to choose what they're searching before they ever even hit that search button, because users may know more what they want. And maybe it's just not the results that you're looking for are just not there, not relevant, right? So we're going to look at some simple things that you can do, both out of the box and as a developer with some real customizations to query against the search interface. So there's something for everything. We're going to go start with out of the box. We're going to go to all the way to deep dive into some code. So our agenda. So what are we going to learn today? So you're going to become more familiar with search and SharePoint Online. We'll do a quick demo. It's probably, you know, nothing extraordinary that you haven't seen before, but we'll get to the better stuff. It's a building block. We're going to learn how to query search. You know, you're like, okay, I know how to do that. But no, we're going to learn how to query search as a power user. And as the skills that you learn there, you'll be able to take them and use them as a developer and do some really cool things. We're going to learn how to customize the out-of-the-box search interface so you can have more information available to the user. Then we're going to extend search by calling into the API. We're going to learn how to do that. And lastly, we're going to cover briefly how to enable search on public-facing websites. Anyone using a public-facing website with SharePoint Online? Okay, well, all right. So this might be useful for you. Okay, so that's what we're going to cover. Key takeaways: you're going to be more familiar with search. You're going to learn how to use advanced keyword queries. Then you're going to look at these out-of-the-box customizations to the search interface. There's a lot you can do. There's a lot of properties on the web parts there that we can tweak, and we're going to look at a lot of those. Then, for the developers in the room, we have some developers, right? No? I see some excitement from our developers. Come on. Woo! All right. We're going to use the search web interface, the web service, to call into it with Silverlight. And you'll be able to take that, what you learned today, and you'll be able to take it either to SharePoint Online or you'll be able to take it home. And we're going to be using Visual Studio 2012 RC, and we'll see what advantages that gives us under deployment. Lastly, hopefully more, you'll be able to get more out of search than you do today. And that's really what I hope. If anything, you'll pick up on these quick tips, and you'll be able to take it back next time you're working with SharePoint next week and be able to do something, you know, cool with it. So, what is search in SharePoint Online? Well, you're right. Okay, that's what it looks like, right? But what do we need to know about it? Well, it just works. Now, I know that's kind of a cheesy way to phrase it, but that's really what you get in SharePoint Online. There's no configuration you really make to it other than things at the site collection level, right? But it's fast, and it indexes every 5 minutes, which may be even better than you're getting, you know, on your on-premises installation. The key thing to know is that, you know, everything's at the site collection level. So if the search setting that you're familiar with, that you're making at like the search service application in central administration, it's not there. Sorry. So that kind of restricts us some, but you'll actually see that we can still do quite a bit. So we're going to take a quick look at what search looks like in SharePoint Online and point out some of the key features there and how we're going to, you know, take it to the next level. So here is, you know, my typical SharePoint online site, right? Yours may look like this. I spent as much time as I did working on mine. And we have, you know, typical content, and we have a search box and things like that. The thing I started with is I created a search center. We'll talk about more how you do that later, but basically it comes from the site actions menu, and we'll go through that. Of course, I clicked on the wrong link already, so never mind that. We'll see that later. We'll just jump to my search page, which looks like this. Do you have one like this? Right? So say I'm looking for some sales documents. I type in the word sales. You know, this is the basic type of keyword query you can do. And I get some typical looking search results. It has documents. It has sites. It has, you know, over here, did a federated query out to people search, and we'll talk about that later. So it brought up the vice president of sales. And of course, I can refine for the number of results I have. So right now I have 88. You know, we can refine down. Just give me the Word documents, and now I have 9, right? So you're like, okay, that's great. I have that in SharePoint 2010, but we also have it here. So just want to give you, you know, a nice overview of know what we're dealing with, because we're going to start doing some cool stuff with this here in a little bit. Search is, you know, it's really, you know, we want to find things easier, right? I mean, we want our users not to have to bury through 10 clicks to get to the document they want, pages and pages and pages. And I'm not going to give you some, you know, silver bullet that's going to, you know, fix all your problems like a magic wand, but hopefully, you know, some of the things we learned how we do today, you'll be able to take, leverage, and make it easier for your users. So we can make the search experience better by knowing the right query. We'll talk about how we can do advanced queries to do some really great things. We'll look at how we can use scopes to filter our results before the user ever even clicks the search button. Then there's also the use of best bets, which I can hardly ever say correctly, breaking the alliteration on it. But you can use these to flag key results that you want your users to always see when they search for sales or that HR form they need or whatever. So it's a great way to manually influence search results. We can improve search by knowing the right query. Now there's a lot on the slide, but we'll break it down. There's cool stuff here. So SharePoint Online also uses the SharePoint keyword query syntax. We got this from SharePoint 2010, so if you've ever done anything there, you'll find that this experience is actually quite similar. In 2010, we got the wildcard operator. Was anyone around with 2007 before we had the wildcard operator? Anyone have the pain? All right. So that was a big deal for us. It doesn't sound like something, you know, that's, you know, we shouldn't have, right? But it was a big deal when we got it with 2010 because it lets us do better queries. So, for example, when I search for account with an asterisk, it finds, you know, account, accounts, accounting, you know, accountants, you know, any kind of, you know, form of that word with that prefix. Now, can you do that with the suffix as well? Can I do star something? No. Fortunately not. But this is a good start, and will solve a lot of your needs, especially, you know, when you're having users and they're complaining they can't find search, and maybe they type in the whole term, or maybe they type in a part of a part number or something like that. You know, teach them this trick, and they'll be able to find things better. Also in 2010, we got the wildcard operators. Sorry, not wildcard operators. We got operators. And with operators, we can use that to do comparisons on things like file sizes or dates. So in this example here, I'm looking at this what's called a managed property, which we'll talk about on the next slide. But write is how you represent the modified date of a document. So you can say write greater than or equal and put a date and set some quotes. And there you go. It gives you all the documents that are new since that date. Pretty cool, right? One thing to point out is that there are no spaces in that query. So be sure you don't put any spaces, otherwise it will not work. Another thing you can do is use some of the built-in managed properties. And managed properties map to site columns in SharePoint for things like author and title and, again, the dates, another example. So if I want to look for, you know, documents by Christina, I can phrase it with quotes, author colon, quote, Christina Murphy. We'll look at title here in a second, too, on this next slide. Here's some kind of common manage properties that you might want to take advantage of when you're going to get started with, you know, building some of your own keyword queries. So we talked about author. Cite is very powerful in the fact that it lets you restrict documents in a query or just any kind of item, right, to a specific subsite. So maybe you have the IT site and you only want IT documents. You can add that to the query and only get those results. Now, that might not be something your power users always typing in now, but as we go further into the talk and talk about this as a developer, it's actually very, very powerful. Title is when you only want to search the title of a document. You know, use that when you don't want to go into a full text query inside your documents. Write, we talked about how that represents the modified date of the document. And this document's another useful one. If you set it to a value of 1, you will be able to only have documents returned in a result. So this is a good way to filter out list items and things like that that you may not be looking for. So the cool thing about this is we can combine all of these in one query and do some cool stuff. So let's look at how we can query search if I click on the right button here shortly. But first, let's talk about scopes. A scope simply allows you to pre-filter the results before you get into it. And in SharePoint Online, we mentioned that we don't have access to the Search Service Administration and Tenant Administration. So a few of the options have been removed, like Content Source and Manage Property. But we still have the ability to restrict by a host name or a subdomain or something like that. And this is important later when we talk about enabling search on public-facing websites. It allows you to say, only show me the stuff on this site or these subsites, right? We can group them together with what's called a scope display group. Out of the box, you have one that's just called search dropdown. And that's, if you've ever seen in your master page, the little dropdown next to search, and it probably says something like this site, all sites, people. You can actually create your own scopes and inject them into that list. And we'll look at how we do that here in a minute. So let's look at querying search. Let's look at scopes, and we'll see it with some real data. So to start off the demo, I'm going to jump over to my intranet site. So this is an actual sample intranet site that you can actually go and download and deploy to your SharePoint online farm. It's a great way to kind of get a nice thing to demo off of, or, you know, show some concepts and things that you can do. So you can actually have a nice, rich-looking site, right? Has some rotation, queries list, has a bunch of documents, all that fun stuff. We mentioned that we have the search this site option here. So I'm just going to start right there. And I'm going to start, and I'm going to look for some documents written by Mark. In this case, Mark Cashman wrote, put together a lot of this template, so his name's on a lot of the documents. So we're going to do that by typing the word author, colon. I'm just going to type Mark. And again, I'm putting it in quotes. Now, you don't have to put everything in quotes that you do. I just kind of make it a habit, because anything with a space in it is going to need quotes. So that's how it, you know, delimits it. So we'll send that query off, and I get one whole document written by Mark. So that works, right? But let's look at, you know, another example. So I can also do, you know, my last name, right? So I wrote a lot of documents, and I get 320 results. Now that works, but, you know, I can also do my full name, and notice, you know, it's smart enough to match up, and it finds the results I need. Now, the one thing to point out is it doesn't have to be in the user's Active Directory login or whatever, you know, we're using in the cloud, you know, online services ID. You know, it looks at the author of the document. So the embedded metadata that it picked up from Word when the user first edited it, before they ever even uploaded it to SharePoint, it picks up that and keys off that. So it will look at that when it's searching. Now, we mentioned that we could query by date. So let's do that. So say the boss walks in and he says, hey, I need to see all documents, all reports that we did since September. You're like, all right, great, I can do that, that's easy. So we use our write keyword. Again, no spaces. I'll just do greater than equal. And again, I'll put our date in US format. And what did I do wrong? What did I do? Oh, okay, so it helps if you know what year it is. I apparently do not. Thank you. So there, now I have all these documents that came back from September 1st of last year. Great, right? Well, how can we make this better? Well, this is giving me some junk. Notice I got some list items in here, and I got some sites, you know, from other demos I worked on. Again, I'm from Houston, so. Let's add our is document keyword and filter the results. So now I went from 290 results to 42 results. Pretty cool, right? As a developer, can you see how this might be useful if you built your own application? Maybe? All right. So let's go a little further. Now, I mentioned that you can search titles of documents. So this is good when you don't want to go inside the contents of a document. We can do this with the word title keyword. And so I'm going to look for a business development plan. I'm just going to, again, put that in quotes. There you see I got one hit. Had I not specified title, I'd probably get some other documents that mention business development plans, like we need to go do the business development plan, or maybe I have a task. This way I got exactly that one document I needed. And last we'll do is site. And site, you know, is useful. So we have back on our internet site, just going to jump back to it real quick, our IT website. So here's our IT portal, you know, it has policies and all that fun stuff. I'm going to actually take this URL from the top, minus the page library. So basically it's my tenant slash sites slash Fabricam and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's the site URL. I'm going to go over here, I'm going to say site, colon. Again, I'm going to do quotes. I'm going to paste that value of the URL in. I'm going to pass it to search, and I get 110 items. So now I have a way of using search to examine everything that's available on that site, security trim down to that particular user that's issuing the query. Very, very useful when you want to combine it and get only certain types of documents. I'm going to go back, though. We're going to talk about scopes real quick. Because on the same concept, scopes, we can do the same kind of thing. We can pre-limit that and give that option for users just to search those documents. So I'm going to show you that. I'm going to go to my site actions menu. We're going to jump down to site settings. And when you scroll down, so this is on your site collection administration, you look for your search scopes option here. And here I've created a scope already. I'll just show you what it kind of looks like. The way it works is there's multiple rules involved. And so in this case, I said, give me the folder that is this URL. Let's zoom in a little bit so you can see better back there. So quick way to create scopes that we use these in other places to pre-filter our results. I'm going to jump back one page to show you the display group. So see you here, this is called search dropdown. So anywhere I enable this later, you'll be able to take advantage of this list, and you'll be able to provide this list of scopes to all users. Now, I didn't create the scope now because SharePoint Online only compiles scope updates once every 15 minutes. So I don't think you want to sit there and wait. But on SharePoint 2010, you can just go click the button and central administration and say, update it now. You know, I'm impatient. So keep that in mind. So that's a quick look at scopes and queries. Let's jump back over and we'll take a look at some more cool things that we can do with scopes. So you can provide more search options. The search settings page on your site collection administration is very, very powerful. The first thing it allows you to do is specify the URL to a site collection search center. You create that search center from the new site menu, and we'll show that here shortly again. But by doing this, you will redirect all your search requests to your custom search center. Once you have your users going there instead of the out-of-the-box page, you can actually start customizing it. Because by default, if you see on the bottom, it says layouts slash OSS search results.aspx. You can't customize that page. It looks very similar, but it's an application page, which means you can't touch it, you know. So Search Center, we can change. This middle drop-down box is how we change what's in that drop-down list on your master page. I have another slide on it here after this. When you look at that box, there's a bunch of options. But ultimately, it comes down to is whether or not you want to display that drop-down box and what it should default to. So there's a few options, such as defaulting to what was passed in on the query. Doesn't really matter as much as the master page, but you can also do this in the search center as well, and you'll see where that's important. The other option is whether or not to include contextual scopes. And what a contextual scope is the this site or this list option that you see. I do this because it actually is in quotes when you look at it. If you want that there or you don't want that there, you can tweak it. So the nice thing is you have options, right? We can create our search center by going to the new site menu, and you'll find it underneath Enterprise Templates. This is just kind of an overview of what you need to do there. And now we're going to talk about how we can find some people. So if you work in a large organization, finding your employees is especially important. You know, people traditionally use, you know, the Exchange Global Address List or something like that, but it's not always the best interface, and you know, you want something that's nice and web-based, shows a picture and all that, which, you know, you can do this some of that in Outlook, right? But the same information can be surfaced in SharePoint, and it has some great searching capabilities that really eliminate the error and risk of trying to find someone's name when you don't know how to spell it, like me. So what it has is what's called phonetic search. And it's good at finding these misspellings, and it has a thesaurus as well. So it knows that Robert is the same thing as Rob and Bob and all that. And it actually works. It also works phonetically on foreign language names. So if you have, you know, a French or, you know, a Korean name, it will probably be able to recognize it no matter how badly you misspell it. We'll take a look at that here shortly. Now, some of you probably have configured user profile synchronization on SharePoint 2010 and may have had some issues, right? Well, the nice thing about SharePoint Online is you don't have to configure it. It's already up and running. And even better yet, you don't have to configure PeopleSearch. It's already up and running. So literally, as soon as you add your users, they pretty much just show up, right? So that's a good thing, because you don't have to do all that extra effort. Now, the index frequency of user profile service tends to vary. I think it's basically a lot of factors that are out of your control, but I've seen it take upwards of 24 hours for your users to show up sometimes, but sometimes it shows up in 5 minutes. So it probably depends on load and when the timers are firing, things like that. Things that are just totally out of your control in SharePoint Online. But just something to keep that in mind if, you know, you onboard some new users and they try to find themselves, it may be a while before they can see themselves. So let's take a look at PeopleSearch in detail. I'm going to go over back to my search page. I'm going to click on my search link to kind of get me back to the beginning. And to do a people search, you start by clicking the people link. Once we're here, we can start our query. So I'm going to look for myself because I need to know what my phone number is. And immediately you get some results. It shows you a nice picture, right? This is probably something you're familiar with. And it gives you, you know, options to update your profile, as well as browse them in the organizational chart and all that fun stuff. But say I need to talk to our director of IT. And his name is Mike Adams. That's how we know him. So I'm going to go just type his name in. And you notice I get a result. You're like, okay, well, what's so special about that? You want to see what's different here. His name is Michael, right? So it has a thesaurus, and it can figure out those references. Before in 2007, what happened? Nothing, right? You go into the search results. If you type this into, you know, the Exchange address book, what do you get? Nothing. So this is a great way to teach your users how to find users, whether you're on-premises or online. Let's look at an even crazier example. So I need to get a hold of Ben Lee. He works at our support desk, always takes care of me. So I'm going to type in his name the best I know how to spell it. And now what I get? I totally butchered his name, right? Totally spelled it right. He's Vietnamese. He's not Chinese. He's Vietnamese, so it's Ben Lee, right? But search is smart enough to recognize that phonetically. Isn't that cool? I always get excited about that. I don't know about you, but you know, anyone? Let's look at another example, though, because you don't have to just search by name, right? So if I need to see who's in accounting, for example, you can do that too. So all this comes from, you know, ensuring that your user profile data is filled out and completed and letting it crawl it. Again, I didn't have to do anything other than create the user and fill out the basic information. The rest SharePoint Online did for me. One thing I want to show you before we go too much further, I'm going to jump back over to our site settings page. And we're going to look at that search settings page that we were talking about before. So in this case, I created a custom search center, and I specified the URL here. By default, it's set to do not use custom scopes. So I changed it so I could take advantage of that search interface. Scrolling down, you have the options of specifying what to show on that master page. So right now, it's set to do not show. If I say show and default to contextual scope, hit OK. We go back to our home page. And it doesn't work because I forgot this master page doesn't have it. So let's go back to our absolute home page. And you see how that list is there, right? So if you want that list there or not, you can tweak it to your advantage. Now we're going to talk about how we can do even more customizations. The SharePoint. So we're going to get into some of the more meat of this. Users want to be able to find their search results quickly. They need the information that's most relevant to them. So tailoring the search center with these minor tweaks can greatly increase your productivity. When it comes to the search center, when you create one, it comes with 5 pages by default. And they're kind of grouped in pairs, right? So default and results.aspx work together. So default's the page that hosts that search box. Results.aspx is that page that actually displays the search results. People search works the same way, people and people results. And lastly, there's an advanced search page that comes with the out-of-the-box advanced search control that you can tweak and customize as well. However, what you'll probably find at the end of the session is that you can probably make something better than what the out-of-the-box advanced search control is pretty easily. When it comes to customizing Search Center, there's several web parts. I'm going to highlight some of the key ones. The search box is the box that you know about. It's obvious, right? It's called Search Box EX if you're curious about the actual, you know, assembly name. And you can provide value to it by adding a scope dropdown, like we showed before. So we can do it at the site collection level on the search settings page, so it shows up on the master page, but we can also put it here next to the search box anywhere it's displayed as well. You can customize some of the labels and stuff like that as well, but probably the biggest thing you might want is adding that search to it. This core results web part is what does the actual querying, and it has a ton of customization options, including the use of XSL and various things where you can automatically set scopes and configure how many results are displayed. Anyone here good at XSL? Love it? If you love XSL, you'll love messing with the search box web part here. So you can also hard code queries. This is useful, say, when you want to put something on a page that says, okay, always show me the documents for, you know, the last month or something like that. You can put something like that on a page and have it always pre-canned, kind of a pre-canned query where users don't have to initiate it, right? Really useful. There's also the refinement panel. And it also is XSL-based as well. You specify the properties that it displays with XML, and then some black magic occurs when you have enough search results, and you get various refinement based on some of the managed properties. So you can customize it with XSL if you don't like the way it looks. And by default, you get things like site, author, date, type of document, right? And the advanced search, it's basically the same one that we had in 2007. It hasn't changed. It allows you to specify multiple properties, which is, mildly useful, but it's not very user intuitive. And so by the time of the end of the session, you'll look how we can totally replace this interface and create a great looking interface, and you probably would never want to use that again. So we're going to get into doing some of the customization of the Search Center. Oops. And all the great things you can do with it. Okay. So first things first, I'm going to go back to my Search Center. And here's the search box web part we were talking about earlier. Anytime you want to make changes, you go to the page menu, and then you hit the edit page button, and you'll be able to get to some properties where you can actually change things on the web part. So this is our search box. I click on a little down arrow, and when you click edit web part, the configuration options pop up way off screen where you can't find them. They're actually up here at the top. And here's that familiar scope drop-down box we were talking about before. So, I can turn that on and say, show and do not include contextual scopes. You can change some of the term labels and things like that. You can show query suggestions, which automatically starts giving you, once you have enough searches and people using it, you'll get kind of some search suggestions. And you can even change some of the URLs. But the key part to point out is the scope display group. If you start creating other display groups, which have multiple drop-downs, because you can have multiple ones depending on where you're at, if you want, you specify the name of it here. But by default, it's set to search drop-down. So I'm going to hit OK, and now we see we have our drop-down, right? So once you're done editing your page, now you click Stop Editing, and we'll use that as a point to go into our next part. So I'm going to do a quick search for sales. And we have, our standard results here. So let's look at some of the things we can customize now. Have you ever done a search and you saw some documents there and you're like, man, I bet there's some other good stuff in that document library or that folder that I wish I could get to? Well, there's no way to do that, right? Other than cutting and pasting the URL or something like that. Not very user-friendly experience. So what I'm going to show you is how we can add a link to our search results page to view the folder. We take some of the properties that are coming back into search results, and we just create a simple link. So we're going to get our hands dirty with a little XSL, and it's a pretty quick, easy way to add it. And there will be a reference to my blog at the end where you can go walk through this step-by-step on your own. This will work on premises, or it'll work in SharePoint Online. So what I need to do is go to page, and we're going to go again to edit page. Oops. And we scroll down, the search core results is down here. I'm going to go to edit web part. And again, it pops way up at the top where you can't find it, right? And to the right. And now we need to edit some of the options. So we're going to go to results query options. Display properties. And the first thing you need to make sure is that you uncheck use location visualization. By default, it will probably be checked. What that means is there's a default way this stuff looks. And once you uncheck that, it allows you to override the way that looks. We're going to click on the XSL editor. And we see we have this awesome looking XSL editor that makes it really easy to edit, right? So easier way to do it is grab it, right? jump over to Visual Studio and just paste it, right? Now, what I want is, jumping back over to my browser, let me cancel out just on this one screen. What I want to do is I want to add a view folder link. Oh, I already have it turned on this demo. I'll show you how to do it then. So I want to add it right there. So I'll show you what I did to do that. So I'm going to search for view in browser. And view in browser is basically the thing that powers Office web apps, right? And I'll show you the section of code I added. Oops. So we're going to kind of highlight it. So the first thing I do is, for view and folder to make sense, it needs to be a document, right? So I check to make sure it's a document. And the way we do that is the same keyword we used earlier with is document. So I do is document, and we use XSL to compare with the test element equals true. So once we get past that, we know that it is a valid document. Now we can build a link using XSL. So I have an A tag. Then I open up an href attribute, and the value that actually has the folder name is in a managed property called site name. This is one of these kind of hidden managed properties that comes back in your search results, but it doesn't get used out of the box. But it's there for you to use it if you need it. One thing I'll point out is that this doesn't work with fast search for SharePoint. The site name property does not have the value you want. But for SharePoint 2010 search and SharePoint Online, you're good to go. Lastly, I put a view folder link in it, and we're done. You cut and paste that over, put it in your search center, and now you have these view folder links. So if you click on one of them, now I get a link directly to that folder, right? Pretty cool, right? So quick tip you can do, easy to implement, you know, takes you, you know, only a few minutes, and already you get some, you know, kind of immediate value. Let's keep going, and we're going to get into the fun stuff, and we're going to get to do some code. So when it comes to extending search, on SharePoint Online, you have some options. So we can create a Silverlight application, probably the easiest way, because you can't call web services from the sandbox, right? Because we're restricted there. And we call the search.asmx web service by passing in some XML and getting XML back. This web service is located at /vti/bin/search.asmx. You just append that to your web application's name, your host name, and paste it into Visual Studio, and then we'll be able to bind it. The query string goes in an XML input parameter, this big, massive XML document. It's kind of massive, but it's actually pretty simple, and I'll show you, you know, the easiest ways to get through it. And then you have two options. You can do query to return ADO.NET dataset, or you can return query EX to get an XML string. And I usually prefer an XML string because I can use things like linked XML and things like that to do some, you know, massaging of that data. It uses the credentials of the currently logged in user automatically. So Silverlight passes in the credentials of whoever's calling, you know, has that context that goes through. So you don't have to worry about security trimming and things like that. The input looks like this. Now, I know there's a lot there, and there really is a lot to the input, but really there's only one part of the type, the whole thing that you care about. And it's what's on that query text element. So in this case, I'm looking for sales. And so the rest of it, I just got to, you know, paste into my code and then add my one little part. So you can read it in from an XML file or manually hard code it, whatever you want to do, right? The output looks fairly similar. So in this case, I get a result set, and then I get things like title, path, write, site name, some of those things that we've already talked about. Those are all managed properties that come back that give us information that we can bind. So we're going to take a look at how to do this. We're going to build a Silverlight application from scratch using Visual Studio 2012 RC. Anyone using that yet? Got it downloaded? Any developers left? All right. So we're going to use that, and we're going to use the nice thing I like about using this is, A, it shaves about 2 minutes off my demo time because of the new Silverlight web part. Anyone mess with that yet or heard about it? So this new Silverlight web part completely almost automates the way that we deploy Silverlight to SharePoint. And it really makes it easy, and you can take advantage of it now on your SharePoint 2010 or online. Works really great. It takes the zap file of your Silverlight project, packages it up, puts it in your solution package. You just say deploy, and it just shows up. Before, if you've ever done with Silverlight and SharePoint, you have to manually upload it to a document library and then manually go add a web part and specify the path, and it's kind of cumbersome. So now it's completely automated, so I really like that about it. Let's take a look at it. So I am going to jump down to Visual Studio. And what I have is I already created a standard, you know, empty SharePoint project with a few things in it. The key parts are making use of this new concept that we have. So we're going to do add, and we're going to get a new item. And as you see in 2012, we have some new options here. One of them is the Silverlight web part I talked about. And we're just going to call this the Tech Ed Silverlight web part. And then go to add. And the first thing it does is ask you, hey, do you want to associate this with an existing Silverlight project? Or do you want to create a new one? So I want to start from scratch. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new one. I'm going to pick Silverlight 4, and there's actually a beta reason why I have to kind of pick that. And we're going to call this the Tech Ed Silverlight project. And it's going to go ahead and add this to my solution, right? Once you do it, it fires up. And we get a designer, right? And we can start doing some stuff with it. So first thing I'm going to do is go over to our toolbox, and we're going to add some controls to it. So what I want to do is build a simple Silverlight app that allows the user to provide some input on what they want to search on, and I'm going to provide them results when they click a button. Simple case, but this is how you get started. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a text box. This will be what the user types in their name, their search results with. I can move it. No. So we'll move that here. I'm having trouble using it. So we'll kind of put that there. And then we will add a button. This will be what the user clicks to initiate the search results, right? And then let's do one more text box. This is going to hold our results. Hardest part of using this is, you know, dragging it, apparently. So I'm going to make this bigger, you know, so we can actually kind of see it. Now, I'm going to give these names. So this is going to be called a search text box. This is going to be called the search button. This is going to be called the results text box. So I'm just assigning names to each one of these. And when the user clicks that button, we're going to have an event handling method that goes in, calls out search, and binds the data to this text box. There's a couple things we need to do. First, I'm going to use a string builder to build this XML. So I need to add, come on, system.text. So we added that. Now we need to add a reference to our Silverlight, our web service inside SharePoint Online. So to do that, we do add service reference. And I went ahead and I already had the URL to my web service here. And we'll give it a second to connect up. If you haven't authenticated before, it'll pop up the SharePoint Online Form Services dialog and ask you to log in. So you have to actually, you know, authenticate to the service to pull it down. We see it brought something back called Query Service. I'm just going to call it a Search Service and hit OK. So it's going out, it's connecting to the WSDL, getting WSDL for that service, you know, and making the connection that so we can start using it. I need to add a reference to it, so I'm going to do my tech ed, project.searchService, so now we can make use of it. And now we can start building our call to get that data. So the first thing I need to do is get a reference to that client. So this thing's called a Query Service SOAP client. We're just going to call this Query Service. Equals new. And just pass in the default constructor. And we're good. So that's all we have to do to make a reference to the service. Now, the string builder, again, I don't want to have to manually type the whole XML file in, so we just borrow that from my shortcut. Again, you can get all this code on my blog. And I'll point out the key parts. Again, remember, the query text is the element that we're interested in, and what I'm doing is I'm passing in the value of that text box, search text box, into that query. Now, once we have completed the string builder, we can actually go and make a call to the service. And we have to do this asynchronously because we're using Silverlight. So we'll go back to my query service, and we need to add, we're going to make a call to query EX. So we're going to do query EX completed, and we're going to bind that to a new method. And you see in 2012, it kind of, you know, uses the new shortened syntax, if you're familiar with that. Before I actually implement any code there, what we'll do is we'll actually make the call to the query EX async as well. And then we'll pass in the value of the string builder. So we're passing in that big XML input document. It's going to go out, call it asynchronously, and we're going to get a result back. Now we just need to bind it. So I'm going to bind to my results text box. And we're going to go to e.result.nodes. And so we're using this query ex completed event args. This has our return data in it. And we want the result, and it's always in the first node, not the zero node, for some reason. And then we're just going to cast that to a string. At this point, we're done. So we'll test that we can build it. And it did succeed. We'll make that a little bigger. Another nice thing I like about Visual Studio 2012 RC is when you're doing solution development in SharePoint Online, it has a new feature called Publish that automatically uploads that WSP file into the solution gallery for you. That's really nice. So I'm going to confirm that we have our right area. So in this case, I'm going to site/teched. And I go to right-click, and I go to Publish. And I'm just going to publish. Notice I still have Visual Studio 2010 on my own computer, right? I still have SharePoint 2010 on the virtual machine hosting this, because you still have to have that to do any solution development, even though you may not ever deploy it there. But at this point, we can push it out. So I'm just going to click the Publish button. And it looks like it's going to, nope, it didn't prompt me for authentication. And what it's doing is it's uploading the solution package. And boom, it's in the solution gallery now. So that saves me so much time. Has anyone done any sandbox solution development yet at SharePoint Online? I mean, it was a tedious manual process. You had to package it up, and you had to manually upload it through the browser. And you had to do that every time you made a build. It doesn't activate it for you, but it gets you close. So we go here, we click Activate, and wow, a new failure. So I know you all had low expectations from the demo gods, because you went to the keynote, right? So and it's a beta product, so I can blame it on that, right? So let me show you what it looks like. So I'm going to go over to So that's what it would look like had it actually deployed correctly. And I'm going to go, you know, kind of do the same kind of, you know, search that we did earlier. So I'm going to search for a proposal. I hit the search button. And as you see, what it does is it comes back and gives me some XML that I can work with. Now, I know that's not exciting. You're like, that's not a very good Silverlight app. But we can take this further. So I borrowed some controls from our boys over at Telerik. And we're going to take some use of those. And we're going to look how we can, you know, bind this to a nice-looking grid. So let's do that. So I'm going to jump over to this page. And now I'm starting to take advantage of some of those managed properties we learned about earlier when we started the talk. So I can now search by things like file size, the modified date. So let's just do that. So let's do, you know, use a nice little calendar controller, right? Pick a date, hit search, get a nice little, you know, grid thing. And so now I have a nice grid look of, you know, results that I get, you know, in a new way. So if your users want to think about it in a grid manner, this is a good way to do it. Nice thing about it being Silverlight is you really have a lot of options on how to show those results. Now let's go a little further. Say I only wanted documents, so I can just check this checkbox. It appends that to my query, and now I get just documents. And you notice there's file sizes here, right? Well, I can use the file size and just keep combining different things to my query to get better and better results. So maybe I want to see things that are, you know, roughly 50K. And now I get a nice short list of all this. So I'm combining all these filters, and the user can search for exactly the things they want without having to do post-query refinement. I think this is a great way to provide search results to your user and get them lots of really good options. What you can also do, if you're using this bit of demo code, which is actually available out on my blog, is you can tweak it as well. So if you want to experiment with queries and you're not sure how to do stuff, you can change the value. So now I did 20K. And now I get some more documents. So you can actually edit the raw query before you send it out. Let's see what the code looks like. And it's really not much more than what we did already. So we'll jump over to our other project. And the designer will take a little bit longer to load. But you see we have all those same fields that we saw already. And if we look at the code, what we have to do is build up that query, kind of using a string builder based on whatever the user picks. So when they click that search button now, I check each field to see if it has a value, right? So in this case, I'm looking at the file size operator, and if it has a value, I go ahead and I append it to our query. And I do this for each item that we have on there. So for each thing that has a value, we pick it part of the query. So if they check is document checkbox, we add is document colon one, that same thing we used earlier. Now, it's just a matter of passing it to our same kind of looking search method, right? So this is just like we saw before, right? And I add some bling to it with the busy indicator, right? So we get that nice little clicky scroll wheel thing. When the results come back, we can use link to XML to massage them into a much more data bindable format. So one thing you have to know, though, is with Silverlight, you can't do anonymous types, so at least in version 4. So I had to go and create a class called SearchResult. And in SearchResult, I go and I have things like title, path, author, things like that. So all the same things that we were binding to earlier are there. Now, in the code, it's just a matter of extracting from our search results. So I'm looking in the relevant results node. And I'm going through and using .any to see if there is that element exists in our result set and casting it into that type we have. Once it's done, it's just a matter of binding it to our grid view. Is that pretty cool? No? All right. So that's cool, but there's one more thing we can do. We can do the same thing with people. So you might want to make a nice interface with people. So this has some of the same kinds of concepts. You know, this type might have a department and title and things like that. You can do phone numbers, things like that, if you wanted to let people search by that. I'm just going to do a quick example. I'm going to get every person in the organization. Don't do this if you have 50,000 users. But so now I click Get All People. And now I get this nice looking search interface, and you know, I'm binding their pictures, and I'm getting all sorts of relevant information. And so, you know, if I scroll over, I get other things like their job title and a link, for example, their My Site, right? So in that case, that user doesn't have anything, but you know, very great way to create a great looking, you know, people search interface for your organization. It's also kind of funny because you'll see, you know, internal service accounts too that you probably didn't know existed, right? So that one, right, Microsoft support. So kind of some interesting stuff you'll see kind of show up in there. So, but good way to query people search, you know, lots of ways you can search it. We'll wrap up next. We're talking about how we can do search on public-facing websites. So out of the box, when you create a public-facing website using the simple publishing, you know, simple public website site collection that you have if you're on an enterprise plan, it doesn't have a search center, so you need to go create one. It doesn't have a search box on the master page, so you need to go brand one. I won't tell you how to do branding. There's plenty of experts that tell you how to do branding if you want the, you know, John and Randy session. That's a good way to start. But I'll show you what you need to do search-wise to make that happen. So search can be used. You got to create a scope that limits the search results to just that site. We talked about that earlier because you don't want public-facing and private-facing necessarily search results mixing together, because as administrator, you'll see them both at the same time. Now, the general public that's anonymous isn't going to see those because it's security trimmed, but your internal users will. And so if you want to keep the results relevant, you want to create a scope. It's easy to do. So we'll look at what this looks like in a quick demo. So I'm going to jump over to my public-facing website. I spent a lot of time working on it. I bet you spent just as much time working on yours. Looks really great, right? So what I've done is I've actually added a search link. Now, one thing to know with public-facing websites is some of the stuff is kind of hidden. There's no link to get to that site settings menu, right? So what you have to do is know the URL. So here's a little trick. So if you do underscore layouts / settings.aspx, you get to the secret, super hidden, you know, site settings menu that you don't normally get, right? Once we're here, we can create our search settings that we need to do. So in this case, I've specified a search center, right? So I created that search center, did a new site menu, right? I told you I'd show you how to do that at some point. We'll see if we have time. So that's the first step. So once we have a search center, we go and create a search scope. I've created one called public. If we look at it, I limited it to the domain of .NET Mafia, which is my tenant prefix, -web, which is the public website, right, .sharepoint.com. So anything using that search center that uses that scope will use that and only have results from there. Let's take a look at what that looks like. So I'm going to jump back over to my search center that's public. And I'm going to do a search. So I'll do something like home. I don't remember. There's not a lot of content on the site by default. But you'll see that all the links are .NET Mafia-web, right? And the reason that is because, oops, I clicked on the wrong menu. I went to edit my page. And then we're going to edit the web part like we did earlier. Go down to miscellaneous. Oops, wrong spot. Hardest part's remembering where all these options are. And what we're looking for is scope. Oh, right, it's there. So what I've done is I've added that public scope right here in that scope box, once I remembered where it was. And it limits the results to just that scope. If that's not there, you'll get everything on the site because I'm an authenticated user. To show you that this works, let me show you as you sign out, right? I'm going to stop editing this. And I'm going to actually sign out and go anonymous. And I'll say no. Let's just go back to our URL, right? And notice up here it says sign in, so I'm anonymous. And if I search for home, I get just 7 results. So that's how you can quickly enable search on a public-facing site in SharePoint Online. And I also have a link in our references at the end of the blog, a link to my blog at the end of my slide deck here that you can use if you want to walk through that. So we talked about, all the stuff that we can do with SharePoint Online. But it's good to know what you can and cannot do. So mostly we talked about things you can do. But I'd be bad if I didn't tell you what you can't do, right? And that's probably what you've been waiting for me to tell you. So I already mentioned the service application. So anything that's in there, like content sources, all those result promotion type things like that, manage properties, but creating your own, right? So you can use the out-of-the-box ones, but you can't create them. That's out. Of course, we can't do cool things like crawling file shares, BCS, even though we do have BCS support now with SharePoint Online. Bass search is out, so exact document counts and document previews are not there. And we don't have access to the actual search object model. What's in, though, is you saw a lot what's in. We took advantage of it. So we got the search center, search web parts, people search. We got the search.asmx web service that we can query. We got scopes and all these great things. So you can use a lot of these and still, see that you can actually get, a decent search experience for your users. So hopefully by now, you're more familiar with SharePoint Online. You've learned how you can take advantage of advanced keyword queries, whether you're a power user or a developer, to create rich search experiences. You've learned how to tweak some of the out-of-the-box search interface with the view folder link, right? And you've taken advantage of Silverlight to query and get a nice-looking search interface that provides more value to your users. Hopefully, you're going to get more out of search than you are today. Some resources for you. So this is the resource on how to add a link to the view folder link, and how to add search to a public-facing website. So these walk you through step by step, should you want to go through that, and then label those on your own sites. Of course, you can find these on the slide deck that will be posted up on MyTechEd. So be sure and fill out your evaluations, and I'll be here as long as you want to answer questions. And thanks for having me.